move to the second case of the morning, which is Papadik versus Gonzalez. Mr. Mwangi.
May it please the court. Thank you, Judge Manion. I am Godfrey Mwangi, representing Sasha Popadic, who's the petitioner from Serbia. He appeals the board's affirmance of the immigration judge's denial of a motion to reopen, in which he sought to renew his asylum application and to seek protection under the Convention Against Torture. And the petitioner raises issue in his appeal with the board's denial to him of the transcript to his earlier proceedings.
Now, here we have a problem, Mr. Mwangi, because didn't Mr. Papadek's failure to appeal the IJ's 1995 removal order relieve the government of the responsibility of preparing the record?
Your Honor, imagine, if you will, a couple of cases. Under the board's rule, if there were two aliens appearing before two different IJs today, one alien got a denial, appealed immediately to the board, and another alien got another denial from another IJ and moved to reconsider. The IJ denied the motion to reconsider, and that alien B, appealed to the board. In case A, the board, under its rule, produces a transcript at taxpayer expense. In case B, the board does not have an obligation to produce a transcript. In my opinion, that is not a good rule, because alien A, on the same day as alien B, gets a transcript at government expense. Alien B does not get a transcript. That distinction, to me, is an irrational one, because even if this case sat around for 5 years, this ability to produce the transcript, to me, doesn't diminish over time, because they still have the tapes. Passage of time does not erase the tapes. And so requiring that just because someone files a motion to reopen or didn't do a direct appeal, they must then have their counsel travel and go listen to tapes in order to assist them file an appeal of a denied motion to reopen disadvantages the alien. Because there's no difference between the standing of these two people in front of the BIA, because they are trying to get the BIA to review their cases. And if the BIA is going to review the cases, then the BIA ought to be briefed on the issues. If the BIA is going to be briefed meaningfully, then the alien ought to know what transpired before the IJ. If I'm representing Mr. Popadic these many years later, I don't know what happened when he was before the IJ in 1995. I can't assist him effectively.
But you know, there are other factors here, including not only the factor Judge Rovner mentioned, which is that he didn't appeal, but also the factor that not only does he fail to depart voluntarily promptly, maybe he did, you know, have some medical problems, but he basically just stays forever. He doesn't ever depart voluntarily. He doesn't actually go back to the judge. He makes a unilateral decision not to leave. And yes, I understand that there's an extra burden on counsel if you're going to follow the instructions from the from the Department of Justice and go listen to the tapes or tell the board that you need the transcripts or what have you, but it doesn't strike me that that's necessarily out of line for somebody in this man's position.
Judge Wood, if the board clearly says, we will not permit you to file the motion if you haven't departed, that's one thing. They permit you to file the motion. Then they deny it and raise a technicality. Now, I would accept it if it's very clear that everybody who does not depart when granted voluntary departure is barred from filing a motion, and the rule is published, and it's commented on, you know, published in the Federal Register, that's fine. But the rule doesn't exist that bars people like my client from filing a motion to reopen upon changed circumstances. And here, there is relief that became available to him when we incorporated the Convention Against Torture into our laws.
Now, how can we know how the transcript would have changed the outcome of the case?
Your Honor, your guess is as good as mine because I've never read it. And so in order for me to be able to assist him effectively, I need access to the transcript in order to determine whether his testimony before can make a difference with respect to the new conditions. I don't have a complete record that I can review in order to determine these changes and their effect on his prior testimony and what the ruling was below before the IJ those many years before.
But he himself hasn't, it seems to me, referred to any statement in the transcript that could have shown either a change in the country conditions that would have been necessary to support his motion to reopen, or the future likelihood of torture that would support his CAT claim.
Well,
so, I mean, how will he show prejudice?
Judge Rovner, again, this is the kind of question that is difficult to answer because I need the transcript in order to determine whether it would be useful. So I really cannot tell you whether it would be useful or not. And because this man had served his tour in the Serbian army, and part of why he objected to being reconscripted is at play here, I would like to see what he said to the IJ before I can determine whether his conscientious objection and therefore his draft dodging is a valid claim for him to raise against whatever other information that I have now, you know, in order to assist him to advance the case today with all the information that I have. Now, it's very difficult for me to do anything for this man without having a full record, which I know exists somewhere. I just don't have access to it.
Do now, the tapes still exist?
I beg your
tapes,
pardon?
Tapes? I don't know what they tape these things.
I assume they exist because...
Well, what do you mean, assume? I mean, isn't there a way to check and find out or to
well,
get them?
When I attempted to procure the tapes, as the notice says that I have put in our appendix, I was told that those files from back then are in storage. Now, my reaction to that is, okay, if I'm going to be sent around to try and figure out where things are, my argument is the correct way to do this is just transcribe everything. Don't make distinctions between motions and direct appeals. Let's just have everything transcribed so I don't have to run around, figure out where this file is, where that file is. Because if there was no distinction between motions to reopen and direct appeals. Every transcript is in the record. I don't have 10 years later to try and figure out how to help this man. And if there's a rule that says he's not entitled to a motion to reopen, I can understand that, because then he comes to me, I just tell him to go away.
But you're proposing a rather large burden on the government for lots of cases where that will never be needed. And I just wanted, I know your time just expired, but even if you got over all of this, the other point the government makes is that there's no evidence that anybody has been interested in drafting him since October of 2000, since this amnesty law. So he has amnesty for everything up until the termination date of that new law. And pure speculation as to the future.
Well, Judge Wood, it's not pure speculation, because two things. The board does not address at all. And the IJ also did not give him a chance to respond to the IJ's administrative notice of the amnesty law, which he addresses on appeal to the board.
Right, no, but you've addressed it here, and giving you the point that you make that it only goes up to a certain time, what the government is saying is that there's nothing in the record that anyone's interested in doing anything with him since then, or that he's at risk.
Judge Wood, that's exactly what I'm trying to address here, which is that Igor Savage, whose affidavit is in the record on appeal to the board, which the board does not address at all. Yes, the government says it doesn't mean that the board didn't consider it. It does not address it at all. He was arrested. He's a U.S. citizen.
But he's a different person in a different situation. This man had the obligation to introduce his own draft notice post-amnesty.
Well, Igor Savage went to Serbia.
I remember all the stuff about Savage. You don't have to review it, but it's just that in this case, why had the board done everything you wanted them to do? I'm not sure they would have ruled your way.
Well,
the
reason that we point to Savage is to illustrate that the amnesty should have covered Savage, because in a similar situation as Popadich, they say is covered by the amnesty. If the amnesty is real, why was Savage arrested? Shouldn't the amnesty have covered him? And so, yes, you know, draft notice or not, Savage should have been covered, because if the amnesty is a true amnesty, Savage should not have been arrested.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Friel.
May it please the Court, good morning. My name is Gregory Friel from the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, representing the respondent, the Attorney General Gonzalez. With regard to the transcript, I would reiterate the government's position that this Court has no jurisdiction to address the due process argument because it was not exhausted in the appeal to the BIA. If the Court looks at the brief filed before the BIA, which is at pages 35 to 45 of the record, he does not mention his counsel does not mention anything about the transcript. Given that, it was not exhausted, and this Court has no jurisdiction. With regard, though, to the merits of the due process argument, approximately 8 months before Mr. Popadich's attorney filed his brief at the BIA, he was sent a notice by the clerk's office saying that transcripts aren't normally prepared in this situation, but you may contact the immigration court if you want to listen to the tapes, and you may also address the need for a transcript in your argument to the board.
Could I ask you whether, as a matter of practice, when, suppose Mr. Mwangi had followed, or any lawyer, had followed up on that, does the board in any way make available copies of the tapes that it would mail to somebody, or do you have to go all the way to Falls Church to do it, or heaven forbid Suitland, Maryland, or one of those ghastly warehouses where the government stores things?
Your Honor, I honestly don't know the answer to that. I will say the tapes, according to the notice from the BIA clerk's office, were in the possession of the immigration court, so I'm assuming that means they're not in Falls Church, Virginia, and the immigration court was the immigration court here in Chicago. I also submit that...
So we think but don't know that the tapes are actually here in Chicago?
I do not know, Your Honor. But what I'm saying is, if Mr. Popadich's counsel believed that obtaining those tapes presented a particular hardship, his obligation was to move before the board, and I pointed out in our brief that there is a procedure to move before the board to ask that transcripts be prepared. There's nothing in the record that he ever made such a motion. And if he had, then the court could, assuming there had been exhaustion, could review the adequacy of the board's decision not to prepare the transcripts. But he never, there's nothing in the record he ever asked the board to depart from the usual procedure. Regardless, he did not mention his brief. It's not exhausted. There's no jurisdiction. I would like to turn to the merits of the motion to reopen. Mr. Popadich bears a very heavy burden, even heavier than normal, because he missed the normal deadlines for filing motions to reopen, and he purported to rely on a narrow exception for changed country conditions. That means the changed country conditions are the changes that have occurred in the former Yugoslavia since February 1995, when the original deportation order was issued. Now, his focus in his motion to reopen was that the Milosevic regime in the former Yugoslavia was prosecuting those who evaded service, military service in Kosovo. But by the time of the IJ's and BIA's decision, there was an amnesty law in place that had been enacted that covered the period 1992, which was, by the way, the year he left former Yugoslavia, to October 7, 2000. The Kosovo War ended in June of 1999, so it necessarily covered that period. Now, Mr. Popadich's attorney criticizes the board for failing to mention the information produced about Mr. Savage. Well, Mr. Savage was, if you look carefully at the information in the record, he was arrested for evading service after October 7, 2000. That's relevant because in his motion to reopen, Mr. Popadich did not assert that he was a pacifist, that he objected to all military conflicts. He focused on his evasion of military service in Kosovo, which ended in June 1999. Therefore, there was no reason for the board to comment on something that was utterly irrelevant to the basis on which he relied in his motion to reopen. He has not produced a draft notice for, first of all, for the Kosovo War, let alone anything that occurred after October 7th, 2000. He has not even alleged that the former Yugoslavia has engaged in any military actions, certainly not those involving ethnic cleansing or other human rights violations after that date. And as I said, and I will refer the court to page 36 of the administrative record, in his BIA brief, he made clear that he does not object to all military service and said that he would be ready to serve the military of his country if it were attacked or involved a justified military action. So this is not an individual who is a pacifist and objects to all wars. So certainly, in light of all that, the BIA's silence was reasonable, and we urge the court to affirm the BIA's decision.
Does the record say anything about, I mean, I have no idea, maybe it doesn't, whether there is an upper age limit for susceptibility to being conscripted into the Army?
The record indicates that the compulsory military service is from ages 18 to 27. It does indicate that during the state of war, which existed during the Kosovo conflict, that apparently men older than age 27 were drafted. But I will reiterate, I am unaware of, and Mr. Popadich has not pointed to, any military campaign by that country, that, and certainly no state of war that has existed since October 7, 2000, that would suggest that men above the age of 27, I would remind the court at this point, Mr. Popadich is, I believe, 39 years old.
Okay.
Unless the court has further questions, I urge the court to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you. The case will be taken under advisement.